My name is Lila Dinser. I am 15 years old. Today is November 24th, 2018. I'm speaking with Denise Fellers, who is my stepmom. We are recording this in La Quinta, California. So can you tell me a little bit about what your childhood was like and what you were like as a child?
Sure. I was born September 9th, 1977 in Santa Clara, California. My mom's name was Gail and my dad's name was Jack. And for the first 5 years of my life, I grew up in the Bay Area around Santa Clara. And it was a pretty tumultuous time. I can remember my mom and dad fighting all the time. And my dad was pretty violent with my mom. Like, he would run around with a knife and chase her. And it was a really hard time in my life. And when I was about 4 or 5 years old, my parents separated. And my mom moved with me and my sister to a town called Roseville, California. But I would still see my dad every once in a while. It wasn't a regular, but he moved to Santa Cruz and we would meet every once in a while. But my dad was not a stable person. He decided to quit his job at Hewlett Packard and buy a food truck and go to carnivals. And so when I would go visit him for the weekends, he would be working in his food truck and my sister and I would just get to run around the carnival and do whatever we wanted and no one would watch us. But he was also not, while I know he loved me, he had a lot of problems. He always had this box that he kept on top of the refrigerator and it was my dad's box. And I knew that there were drugs and a gun in that box. And I didn't like it when he would bring the box out and he would show me what was in it and he would show me his gun. And my dad got remarried to a woman named Linda, who was a nice lady. She was kind of like a grandma. That's what I remember her like. And my mom would tell me that she was much older than my dad, which kind of goes with my memory because she was like a grandma. And when I was like 5 or 6 years old, he was not doing very well. And one day we got a phone call and he shot himself with the same gun that he would always show me in his box. And I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I didn't know whether I should cry or not, because at the same time, my mom was very loving and she had gotten remarried to who is my dad today. And I remember when they got remarried, I was not that old, maybe 6, 7 years old. And I held on to my new dad's hand through the entire wedding and would not let it go. And if you look at all the pictures, he was just gripping my hand through the entire ceremony. And so while I kind of see my childhood in kind of two different phases, the first part was very tumultuous and very difficult. And then I got stability and I was with my mom and my dad, and I grew up in a small town called Loomis, California, and they provided everything that I could ever want. We weren't very well off. We didn't have a lot of money, but I didn't ever need anything. And the one thing that we always focused on was education, and school was really, really important to my parents and important to me. So that's kind of how I see my childhood shaped.
So did you enjoy the school when you're growing up, and what was your favorite memory?
I like school, but school was, you know, something you had to do. And I was really a perfectionist and I wanted to do the best that I possibly could. But as I said, I was growing up in a really small town. It was called Loomis, and it was very... You were either within a group or you weren't. And all the teachers played favorites, and our family was different than everybody else's because both of my parents worked, which was not like everybody. And we lived for a lot of when I was in kind of like later elementary school and middle school into high school, my parents were building a house, and while they were building the house, we lived with my grandma. So there was three girls and my mom and dad, and we lived downstairs in two bedrooms in my grandma's house. So it was kind of very loving, it was kind of a lot going on. And since my mom worked, she wasn't at school every day like all the other moms. She wasn't the room mom, she wasn't this. And because of that, I was kind of not given the same attention that other kids in the school were. And this started in elementary school. And so I was always kind of at a disadvantage. And I always had to fight. I was always didn't test very well. So I was put in a low math class or a low reading class. And I always had to fight to get higher. And school wasn't difficult for me. But I always felt like I was never, you know, treated necessarily the same as kind of the people who were the in crowd.
Do you have one memory that really stands out from your schooling experience?
My strongest memory is I actually started school not in a public school. I started school in a Montessori school, and I went through Montessori until second grade. Which was also made it hard when I moved into the school in third grade because everybody else had been together for the entire, since kindergarten and preschool. But my first memory was actually, and it really kind of like is synonymous with who I am, was when I was in, I think it was first or second grade, and I was going to the Montessori school, and I liked that there was always a plan. There was always a schedule, and we had to stick with the schedule. And when we got off schedule, I would get very upset. And so we always had a spelling test before lunch on Fridays. And I always studied really hard and I wanted to do well. And one day my teacher said, guess what? We're just not gonna have the spelling test. We don't need to have it, it's okay. We're gonna do something else. And I just lost it. And I had never been sent to the principal's office before, but I was just so distraught that I just could not understand why we were not having a spelling test. And all the other kids were relieved because they didn't want to take the spelling test, but we had to take the spelling test. So I threw a fit and got thrown out of class because the teacher canceled the spelling test.
So what grades did you get when you were in school?
I did really well in school. I don't remember in middle school and elementary school, but when I was in high school, I went to a public high school the name of it was Delaro High School, and it didn't have any AP classes. It was a public high school in the small town that I grew up in, which was a town of 5,000. And so it was kind of like this school that drew from all these other small towns. So it wasn't that small of a school, but it wasn't a huge school. And there was no AP classes. There was no such thing as honors classes. So the highest grade you could get was an A. And I got a 4.0 through high school. But one of the interesting things about my high school, since it didn't have AP classes, there was kind of a group of about 7 or 8 of us who all had 4.0s, who were all doing well in high school. And instead of taking AP classes, they let us, in our junior and senior years, go to the junior college. So we would get to leave in the middle of our high school day and drive to the junior college or take junior college classes at night. And so instead of having to take AP tests at the end of high school, I had already gotten college credits by taking college classes. So I took calculus A and B, so two semesters of calculus, and I took English, a college English 1A and 1B it was called, all at the junior college. So when I graduated from high school, while I didn't have over a 4.0 because it was impossible to get at my school, I did have college credits that I was able to get by going to the junior college.
So when you were applying to college, what was going through your head? What was happening in your life? You know?
Well, applying to college was an interesting experience because no one in my family had gone to college before. My mom had gone to junior college and then eventually did graduate from college and actually got her master's. But at the time that I was applying to college, no one in my immediate family had ever applied to a four-year university, and no one had ever graduated out in my extended family. So on my dad's side of the family, no one had ever gone. And on my mom's side, my mom had gone for a few years, but hadn't graduated. So I was the first one that was going through this process. And we had no idea what we were doing. And the counselors at school were of no help because they basically said, well, you're a girl. Why don't you go to the junior college for a few years and then see what happens? And I was intent on going to a four-year university, and I really wanted to go to UCLA. That was my top choice. And I remember my mom and I went on this college tour, and we went to UC Santa Barbara and UC Davis and UC San Diego and UCLA, and UCLA was my absolute favorite. And so that's where I wanted to go. But honestly, when I was making the decisions, it never even dawned on me, and part of it was because no one in my family had ever gone to college to even look outside of the small little world I knew in California. Since I grew up in Northern California, UCLA was this like really far away. So I had my sights set on UCLA. And when I told the college counselor at my high school, she was like, well, you shouldn't even apply because you're not going to get in. And I did apply. And at this point in time, there was it was kind of nice because if you're applying to the UC school, you only had to do one application. And you could check the box, UC Berkeley, UC Davis, UC San Diego, Santa Barbara, and UCLA. So I really only applied to those schools. And then my safety school was San Diego State. And I eventually did get into UCLA, and I was very excited. But my guidance counselor again said, you know, I don't think UCLA is the right place for you because you're not going to be able to keep up with everybody at UCLA. You're not going to be able to keep up with the curriculum. So they were really trying to talk me out of going to UCLA, but I had my heart set on going there.
What was your favorite experience that you had in college?
I loved college. Finally, in college, I felt like I had found a group of friends and I finally had become who I wanted to be. And unlike high school, where there was so much angst and so much clickiness, in college, I just felt like I was finally could be who I wanted to be. And I met some really, really good friends, Annalise and Elizabeth, and we all joined a sorority, Delta Gamma, and we would all hang out together every weekend. And my best friend at the time, Annalise, she and I lived together for 4 years. Oh, 3 years. We didn't live together freshman year, but for 3 years. And we were called the UCLA Moms, and they even got us sweatshirts that said UCLA Mom, because we were always the ones that were home early, did all of our homework, and got everything done and made sure that everybody else got home and didn't get into trouble. But I really enjoyed being in a sorority, which I never thought I would. And part of the reason why I think it was really good for me was because, as I mentioned previously, I grew up in a really small town of 5,000 people and went to a small high school. And going to a university like UCLA, which was huge, and there was thousands of people in my freshman class, I needed something to help me make it feel like a small community. And Delta Gamma really helped me do that. But some of my best memories were honestly going, I had like a true college experience, going to football games and basketball games. And one of my best memories, and I kind of renew it every year, is that my dad, as I mentioned, my dad, when I started at UCLA that fall in 1995, he would come to one football game every single year. And he has continued that to this day. So I'm not going to do math that quickly, but it's been well over 20 years that he has come down to visit me and go to a UCLA football game. And I was really excited that we started that tradition. And I remember that from my freshman year all the way to today. And, you know, when I was in school, we actually would get T-shirts that would say Dad's Day, and we'd have matching T-shirts. We don't do that anymore, but it is still to this day one of my fondest memories.
What made you decide to go to law school and become a lawyer?
Okay, so as I mentioned before, no one in my family had ever gone to college, so clearly no one had gone to law school. I didn't really know what law school entailed. I didn't have anyone to tell me what to expect at law school. But I was a communications major at UCLA, and when I graduated, there was really nothing to do with a communications major. I had no idea what to do with it. And so I told my mom, well, I'm going to go to law school. And I honestly did not think I would become a lawyer. I just decided, hey, if I have a law degree, I can be able to do anything else I wanted to do. So I decided to go to law school, and I applied to only a few schools. I applied to UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Cal. And honestly, I was preparing to apply to other schools, but I got within 2 weeks of submitting my application to USC, I got admitted to USC and a full ride scholarship to USC. And I was like, well, I guess that's my backup school now. I don't need to have any other backup schools. And I ultimately got into Stanford, which was the number one school, law school at the time, UCLA, and believe it or not, waitlisted at Berkeley. So I had a decision to make, and I decided I was a true Bruin through and through and went to UCLA. And to this day, I still get teased for not going to Stanford. But ultimately, I think I would have ended up in the same place.
Yes, my father. if you could go back home and talk to the people who told you couldn't do it, what would you say to them?
You know, it's one of the things that I always said to myself, that I was going to go back and say, look at that. I succeeded at UCLA. You told me I couldn't, and I'm going to like shove it in your face and say, look at what I can do. I did really well at UCLA. I graduated summa cum laude from UCLA, so obviously I proved them wrong. But honestly, I didn't really ultimately think it was necessary, because really I needed to prove it to myself and really not to them. But some days when I'm really upset, I still want to go back to that guidance counselor and say, look at this. You should never tell any student they can't do anything.
If you could go back and do one thing differently, what would it be?
There's a couple things. One thing is I mentioned earlier that I really didn't look outside of California for either undergrad or law school. I think that I actually would have enjoyed or liked the experience to move outside of and gone to school maybe on the East Coast or gotten a different experience. I did that a little bit in other ways. I had an internship in Washington, D.C., so I lived there for 6 months when I was an undergrad and worked at the Department of Justice, so I kind of got that flavor. And I also did a student exchange program in Spain and lived in Madrid for a while. But I do honestly think that partly because I didn't really know what to do and neither did my parents, I didn't look further than, you know, what I knew in the confines of my little environment outside of California. So I would gone back and applied to different schools maybe, or given the opportunity to see what else there was. And the other thing is after I graduated from law school, I would have taken the opportunity or at least applied to becoming a clerk for a judge, because at the time I mentioned that I didn't think I was going to become a lawyer. So I was like, oh, no need to go clerk or get a clerkship. But then I honestly fell in love with being a lawyer, and I think it would have been a benefit if I had actually done that. So that's two things that I would have done differently. One, I would have gone back and done a clerkship between starting at a law firm and graduating from law school. And the other one would be I would have broadened my horizons and looked at other schools other than just the schools that I knew.
All right. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking to me. Is it okay if I publish this into the Library of Congress?
Of course.
Okay, cool.